Amen. Well, turn with me today, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, for a message entitled Denying Jesus. Let me say thank you to the praise team, Brother Mitch, for leading us in that wonderful worship in music today. Thank the Lord. Jesus is great. How great thou art. God's grace is amazing, amazing grace. I just hope, dear friend, that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're closer to him for singing those hymns. We're in chapter 18, been working our way through this Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, and we kind of dealt with the larger passage last week and saved this issue of Peter's denials so that we could treat that separately today. So here in John chapter 18, I want to first of all read, beginning at verse 17, a couple of verses, and then we'll skip over a few more verses and read about the second denials that Jesus did. So just remain seated today for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible word, John chapter 18, beginning at verse 17. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, even for the tough parts, the parts that teach us what not to do, and the parts that give us warning, Lord. And that's the type of situation we're dealing with today. Lord, we know that Peter was a genuine follower of Christ. He was a real believer, and yet there were times when he denied his Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help us learn how not to deny you. Let us consider, Lord, the way you would challenge us today to put some precautions in place so that we don't deny our Savior. Teach us about our weaknesses, Lord. I pray that if some are here that are not genuine followers of you yet, Lord, that they'd see they need to follow Jesus and be a believer. Follow him really as Lord. Yet, Lord, we know that when we make that commitment, there will still be times that we stumble. But we won't want to. It won't be natural for us anymore. So I pray that you teach us, Lord, from this passage. Guide us by your Spirit today. Let us see your glory over your word. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Denying Jesus. Now, I want you to see, first of all, today, the snags in denying Jesus. The snags. I believe that genuine believers are going to have a problem whenever we deny Jesus. It's not real easy to do. There will be some hang-ups, some snags because of the change that's been wrought about in a genuine believer's life. For one thing, our speech is different. And Mark's version of the account tells an interesting detail about one of Peter's three denials. He said he denied it again, and a little later, those who stood by Peter said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Now, during this day, Galilee was much to the north. I think about it as the opposite of our situation, okay? The southerners live down south here, right? We have a different speech. But in that day, apparently the southerners lived to the north, okay? Now, I'm just saying it in a way we can relate to it. as Americans. But I'm telling you, friend, that is where the country boys like Peter live, because they were fishermen on the Sea of Galilee up there, right? In that Galilean region. And so it's well established that people from that area had a different accent and probably a slightly different vocabulary. We Southerners very much know the feeling, right? You know, I probably couldn't go to New York City and pass away as a native to that city, right? I'd probably have a problem about 3 minutes into it if I could keep my mouth shut for those 3 minutes, you know, and find me a Yankee cap to wear or something like that. But I'm telling you, friend, when I open my mouth, somebody would say, "You ain't from around here, are you?" Except they'd find different vocabulary, even say that, wouldn't they? I mean, friend, if you're a Christian that knows Jesus, your speech ought to give you away. You're a little bit different. Now, it's not because our accent's different. It's because the things we say and the motive with which we say it ought to be a little different. So it ought to be hard for a Christian to deny Jesus because our salvation has affected our speech. We know now that we're representative of Jesus, and so we don't want to cuss anymore. We don't want to hang around people telling dirty jokes anymore. We don't want to talk about vain subjects or get involved with gossip, because Jesus should have brought some change into our life. And he did if he saved us. Now, a believer might have a bad day and deny Jesus, even with cursing like Peter did, right? But it wasn't typical for Peter, friend, because his speech had been changed. Not only is our speech different, but our nature is different. Peter didn't fit in with these soldiers and the other folks over at the high priest courtyard. He couldn't even get through the door without somebody questioning whether or not he was a follower of Jesus. Look in verse 17. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." See, saved people are changed people, and they just don't fit in with the world. Pastor Johnny Hunt says something interesting. He said, "If you want to know what happened in my church last Sunday, you'll need to call me in about a year." What really counts is not how many people sign decision cards on a particular Sunday, but how many of them are still around after a year. "I want fruit that remains," he said, "the kind of sticky decisions that change lives forever." I want to know about those, friend, who are still growing and multiplying and making a decision and really following Jesus with their life. I tell you, friend, when Christ comes in, he's going to change your nature. It's going to have a definite beginning, and then he's going to change you more and more day by day. The Bible says we become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So there's going to be a change to our nature. Just hard to deny Jesus when we have a new nature. Our speech is different, our nature is different. But I'll tell you another thing, our relationship is different. People who are saved have a real relationship with Jesus. And Jesus was clear about this in many places. But John 10 verse 14 that we've already studied is where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my sheep." See, we have a different relationship with Jesus now, friend. We're on the inside. He's our Lord. We really are following him. We relate to him day by day, and so we certainly ought to be less likely to deny him, right? I mean, those that we're closest to, those that we love, we ought to be less likely to deny. And that's sure true if the one we love is our Savior, whom we loved and who loved us so dearly. And so whenever we have this real relationship with Jesus, it means that we're following Jesus. And Peter is doing that even on this bad night and morning. He is following Jesus. It's the very reason that he's there in the courtyard. He and John are following Jesus, but he's not doing it well on this night and morning. But he's close enough that it was one of the snags of him denying Jesus. he wasn't following close enough. Not only the snags in denying Jesus, but a second thing I want you to see today is the failures in denying Jesus. How did one of Jesus' closest friends and followers end up denying Jesus when it seemed Jesus needed him most? I mean, Jesus was headed for the cross. He was being battered already while Peter's in the middle of these denials, and he is headed to the cross. And that's when Peter, and yes, the Bible makes case all of the disciples, fled and let Jesus go through all that on his own. Why did Peter fail? And why do we sometimes fail? Well, I tell you, for one thing, we fail because of pride. Matthew tells us what Jesus told the disciples beforehand. Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Now, guess what? Now, this is over in the Gospel of Matthew, but guess what Peter's response was instead of fear and trembling when Jesus said something like that? Matthew tells us what his response was. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble because of you." Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Friend, it could be that some of you even now are thinking, "Well, I'm never going to deny Jesus," or "I haven't denied Jesus." But friend, I want you to know today that we deny him with every sin because we do what we want to do instead of what he wants us to do. We deny him when we fail to witness. We deny him when we fail to worship through the opportunities that we have to worship him. We deny when we fail to love others in his name. You see, we misjudge our strength, don't we? Sometimes we think that we know how to apply the biblical principles when we don't necessarily. We're right there with Peter and the others. We think that we love Jesus with our whole heart, but there might be some little compartment we're trying to keep to ourselves. We believe that we'd die for Jesus if it were necessary. But what'll you do if it really comes down to that and you have to suffer for Jesus that strongly? You see, what I'm saying is we think that we're strong, but the Bible gives us warnings in so many ways. Here are a few of the places. Take careful heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. But let each one take heed how he builds. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And that's what Peter didn't do. Jesus said, "You're about to fail me, and all of you are going to do it." Peter said, "Not me." The Bible says, "Take heed lest you be the one that falls." We have to be on our guard all of the time. And you'd especially be where I feel if there's a particular sin that you think you will never commit. Because I believe the devil will do his best to hit you in that very spot, to try to drag you down in that area, because he knows your heart is prideful about that particular area. You're right there with Peter. "I will never." Friend, but for the grace of God, you might. And I might. We need him, and we need him every hour. We need him every moment. And so we can't have that kind of pride in our heart. Not only pride, friend, but we fail, secondly, because of prayerlessness. Just hours before, they all went out to the garden for prayer, and Jesus even let Peter and James and John go a little bit farther with him into the garden that night. And Jesus would pray a little bit, and then he'd come check on these three. And then he'd pray a little bit more, even to the point of great sweat drops of blood. And then he'd come back, and these three were asleep again. Every time he checked on them, they were asleep instead of praying. Now, it was a special weekend for these guys, right? We know, because fresh on our mind, we remember what it's like around Thanksgiving and Christmas when we get together for our big holidays, and and celebrations, and maybe you've done some traveling to be with family, and a lot of the women have done some cooking to prepare for everybody, maybe some decorating too, and of course the guys are watching the football game until it's time to carve the turkey or something like that. They might get involved and do some grilling or something like that. But then you get together and you eat that big old meal, right, with turkey and ham and cream potatoes and pie and brownies, right? And I tell you, friend, come about mid-afternoon, you can't help it if you wanted to, can you? You're zonked out. You got to take that nap. A lot of people do. And friend, that's what it's like on this occasion. They just had Passover, the biggest celebration of all. They're full of roasted lamb and garlic herb and unleavened bread. And then they had the Lord's Supper. And it is late at night, and Jesus says, watch and pray, but they can't do it. They can't do it even for 1 hour, Jesus said. And Jesus knew they needed prayer. Even he was praying to the Father out in the garden all night long, pouring his heart out to the point of sweating that blood. Sometimes, friend, we can get so physically exhausted that we're a lot more likely to deny Jesus. You fail perhaps at going to worship because you're tired. You fail to pray as often. You might make unwise choices that you wouldn't ordinarily make. And right here today, friend, you made it through the holidays and the new year, but it's been a busy season. Let me just ask you today, how's your prayer life right now? Did you pray a whole lot this past week, passionately, for God's guidance to be with you? Because, friend, if not, what God wants to say to you today is you need to pray. You need to stand in prayer. You need to walk in prayer. Or you're going to fail. You're going to deny your Savior. We fail because of pride. We fail because of prayerlessness. A third thing, we fail because of worldliness. A couple of places here, but verse 18 shows us how the servants and officers who'd made a fire of coal stood there and for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And then in verse 25, it reiterates that Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore, they said to him, you're not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. I think one way that Peter slipped into worldliness is by warming himself at this fire beside the enemy. The very ones that came out to get Jesus, because it tells us that these were soldiers and servants of the high priest. Well, that's who came out to arrest Jesus just a little while ago. And now Peter tries to pass himself off as not one of them. But he sure likes that fire they got going on. So he slips in over there by one of them, and he just warms himself right along with him. There's a lot of believers, friend, that would do that kind of thing. Another reason Jesus slipped into worldliness is he wasn't following close enough to Jesus. Here's what Luke had to say. Having arrested him, they led him, Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. That phrase has always grabbed me. I believe there's spiritual truth to it, friend. The reason he slipped is he was too far away from Jesus on this particular day. Ordinarily, he was real close to him. Even in Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But I tell you, on this day, he wasn't following close. He let there be some distance between him and Jesus. And so he got into trouble since he was following Jesus at a distance there. Let me ask you a pointed question, friend. Are you close to Jesus right now? Or could it be that you're trying to follow Jesus at a distance? Are you trying to keep one foot in the world and another foot in the church? Can you think of any ways that you might be cozied up to the fire with the world? Some way that Jesus would have you address so that you'd have a better testimony for Jesus. Are we doing okay today? Amen. Amen. We're just in the Word together gather around it in Jesus' name, friend, because we all need to grow. Amen. Now, we fail because of pride. We fail because of prayerlessness. We fail because of worldliness. And I believe we fail because of negligence. Verse 26, it says, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Now, the Gospel of John doesn't tell us the whole story behind that rooster, just the fact of it crowing. But why would John tell us here even that a rooster crowed? Well, Jesus had said the night before, Matthew, for example, tells us, assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And that's when Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. See, Peter gets a bad rap for it, and we sure see it clearly in him, and he is the most vocal about it. But I tell you, the Bible says, and so will all the disciples, and that's what played out. Nobody was standing tall with Jesus when he went to the cross. He went up there all by himself, and he went through the worst of this. And yes, I know John was present, and yes, I know that some could have been a little ways away, friend, but I'm telling you, they forsook him. They didn't go to the death with Jesus. They'd have to see a resurrected Jesus before they got that close to him. But friend, I'm telling you, on this night, they didn't listen to what Jesus said. And Peter didn't. He was negligent with it. He didn't heed the words of Jesus. Spurgeon said, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, the Bible says, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to the Lord before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter had terribly fallen. He had denied his master, denied him repeatedly, denied him with oaths, denied him in his presence while his master was being smitten and falsely charged. He had denied him, though he was an apostle, denied him, though he had declared that should all men forsake him, yet he would never be offended. It was a sad, sad sin. But Spurgeon says, remember what led up to it. It was first Peter's presumption and self-confidence. We must either deny ourselves, like Jesus said to do, or deny our Lord. If we cleave to self-confidence, we shall not cleave to him. Man, what a word, friend. What a word. You know, I want to say it like this. Is there a faint crowing of the rooster in our ears today? Some way that we know we've denied him. Is the Holy Spirit showing anything today that would draw us closer to Jesus so that we're not following him from a distance? Do you ever deny Jesus? Have you followed him as Lord? Have you followed him in baptism? Have you followed him with your life? Are you potentially denying him with an unrepentant sin in your life? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your word, and I do thank you, Lord, for these words. I believe you want us to grow closer to you today, Lord. And yet for Christians, Lord, I pray that you would help us to put down pride, even in regards to us following you. I don't think any of us have it all together. I don't think any of us can have a successful day today following you the rest of the day if we try to do it in our own power. Lord, I pray that you'd help us hear what you're saying, to take heed lest we also fall. Dear Lord, I pray for those that haven't really made that decision to follow you as Lord yet. I know they could have sweet fellowship with you, a real relationship so that you know them and they know you. They can walk with you and talk with you through your word and through the Holy Spirit, and they can be guided in life so that their life is more abundant and they have you as Lord. They have eternal life instead of eternal punishment from that moment they make that decision. And I pray, Lord, that those who need to make it, that they would boldly come during this response time, Lord, so that we could all give you glory for you working in their life. Maybe there's some, Lord, that need to follow you in a biblical baptism, Lord. I pray that they would come and make that known and follow you in that regard, that they would be close to you instead of trying to follow at a distance. And maybe there's some, Lord, that need to make other decisions. I just pray that you would guide them, Lord, to make that other decision in your time. Maybe you're challenging some, Lord, to make changes in their life with your help. And this was the very word where they saw clearly that they need to make changes like Peter did. And they need Jesus even to do that. Lord, have your own way with us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me invite you to stand. This is our time of response. Your time to come say, Brother Greg, I do want to be saved. I want to know Jesus, Lord, of my life. Or if you have some other things that you need to change or other decisions to make, come right now as we begin to sing.